Well, jingle bells, everybody. Hi, welcome. It's time for Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy. I'm Jennifer English. And in celebration of 20 years of conversations about the delicious world of food, wine, and the good life, we have invited our friends in the business and the newsmakers, the tastemakers, the style makers, the movers, the shakers, the foodies, the friends. We've invited them all to this last party of the year for one last hurrah, huzzah, and celebration. 2020, the end of the end of the year for sure, but there's a new decade and a new dawn, and there is a lot of talk about what this new period of time is going to bring to us. And when we live in the moment, we celebrate the moment. But sometimes it's nice to look ahead. It's nice to look in our crystal ball. It's nice to look ahead to trends. The clues have been all around us, hiding in plain sight for months and months, and maybe even years in some instances. And one of the things that's happening in our world is we're waking up in ways that have influenced everything from the relationships we have, to the food we eat, to the food we make, to the parties we host, and to the people we are. So today we're going to take a look into our crystal ball. We're going to look with our extraordinarily talented friends. And when you're lucky enough like me to have really talented friends, we have an exploration of their talent, and we are going to talk today in this conversation about food trends and cultural trends for 2020. We're going to talk with our talented friends about their gifts and the presents that they give to us. And so that's the theme of today's show as we wrap up this Christmas season. We're going to talk about bubbling wines and bubbly wines in general, but in particular the wines of France and a region called Champagne, because in order to be called a Champagne, a wine that has bubbles must be born in bubbles. That was a phrase that was taught to me 20 years ago on my very first show by the remarkable Rosemary Zraeli. She was the wife of Kevin Zraeli from Windows of the World, who was the master sommelier at Windows of the World. So these were people who really understood the integral role that the beautiful wines of the world had on establishing and cultivating the cultures and conviviality in every corner of the world, and how at your table, as we get ready to ring out the old year and ring in the new year, how celebrating, especially with bubbles, takes on special meaning. And in order to do that, we're going to focus on some of our very favorite places in town that serve champagne by the glass. And we're going to talk about the broader trends with two VIP guests. They're on their way to the studio right now. Pastry chef Michelle Ortiz is a consultant and much in demand expert in the field of the sort of big design of food, and in particular, the experience that guests have with extraordinary food that is relevant and contemporary. Her talents are really limitless, it seems, and on the fork and plate and the bowl and on the spoon and in the glass and on the donut tray and in the salad bowl and on the oyster plate, she is masterful. And my conversations with her delight me to no end, and they leave me inspired, as we hope they will leave you inspired for approaching the new year ahead, literally one day at a time, with the approach of being not only present, but eating with more intention and making everything with the sort of magic and deliciousness and irresistible that we're going to talk about. And in addition, Chef Justin Nilsson is going to be back with us. You know, we're lucky enough that throughout the year he'll land on the lily pad of Tucson, Arizona for family visits. And when he does, from his many projects in California and as a consulting chef for some of the biggest names in the hospitality industry in Las Vegas. He brings his unique brand of collaborative, inspiring creativity. We say that Chef Maria Maison paints with a palette of flavors. Well, Chef Justin Nilsson, he just paints with extraordinary inspiration in every form. And one finds oneself delighted by both the simplicity, the humble delicious, and the true irresistibility of everything he touches. We're going to talk about what's coming up next for us all in the world of food and drink. I want to say some special thank yous too, because this is the last show of the year, and it's a chance to do a little bit of housekeeping. I want to thank our sponsors, but I want to tell you why I want to thank our sponsors, and I want to encourage you to go and support these locally owned businesses in the ways that you can. In the theme of today's show, we're going to talk about gifts and presents. Presents like Christmas presents, as well as one's presence in your world and being present. The idea of the word present is so powerful, and we're going to really focus on that a lot today. And I hope that when you go out today, tomorrow, next week, and in the new year, that you will support the locally owned businesses that take all of their gifts, talent, and intention, and give to us the gift of their presence in our community, but they give us a present of being able to unwrap things like tamales, like the Hola hemp tamales that the Charo family has created for us, that are now finding their way across the country and bringing tastes of Tucson to people near and far. We're going to talk about how the idea of someone sharing their gift with us, whether it's a really small, simple gesture of making us a perfect cup of coffee, or someone in a place far away like Champagne, France, with intention, making extraordinary bubbly wines called champagnes that on New Year's Eve you will open and share with your family. I want you to think about people all over the connected world who are coming together at your table, from the farmers to the bread bakers, from people like Don Guerra from Barrio Breads, who gives us extraordinary breads to break together, to friends who make exceptionally delicious things, like Gloria Badia and her family, who make the Chiltepica products and the Chiltepica salsas that can be found at the Costco stores. Just because it's in a Costco doesn't mean it's not locally owned. Just because it's in a Costco, which is a really big store that I think, I almost don't care who you are, doesn't it make you a little bit nervous to go there? Gives me a little bit of anxiety every time I do. But we go for lots of reasons. But one of the things we can celebrate while we're there is the local connection that we have at the many Costco stores throughout Greater Tucson. One of the ways that you can support your community is by buying and serving the local products, especially the brilliant Chiltepica salsa. Why is it so special? Because our friend Gloria Badia and the Chiltepica products are built around the small, simple concept of the chiltepín, the Sonoran chiltepín. And we're in the Sonoran region, which means we're growing them on both sides of the border. The chiltepín itself doesn't know whether it's in Mexico or in Arizona, in the United States, or in Hermosillo or Sonora. The chiltepín just knows that it's going to do its best in all its chiltepín-ness. It's not going to try and be a cow to be a steak. It's not going to try and be an orange to be some juice. The chiltepín is just going to be happy to be a chiltepín. Because as a chiltepín, it's utterly perfect. It adds a tremendous amount of brilliant, wonderful heat to the foods that we put it on without adding a lot of really distinctive flavor that distracts from the food that we're putting it on to enhance. It's brilliant in soups and stews, and it's great on your tacos and in your salsas and salsitas. But more than anything else, I want you to imagine using it in the sea salt and chiltepín ground up blend that Chiltepica sells throughout the area, and in the whole form of the chiltepins, which you can grind up and put on your food. But those are the same ingredients that go into the chiltepica salsa that you can buy at the Costco. So as you're getting ready for, we're so small, they're not going to find us the Super Bowl, but we're supposed to say the big game. But so when you're watching any sporting event, when you're having big parties, and when you're having New Year's Eve celebrations, and when you're giving people a taste of what it is to come and visit you here in Tucson, Arizona, in the weeks and months to come, go to the Costco and buy some chiltepica salsa and give them a true taste of what the local flavor is. It's better than jarred. It's better than anything else you can find that isn't your own. And I would urge you to keep your eye out for the best chorizo you'll ever have, which is the chiltepica chorizo, and it's found in Costco stores, I'm told, a little later on this season, maybe February or so. I also want to remind you that Le Rendezvous is one of our sponsors, and we absolutely love them. Le Rendezvous opened in 1980 and gives this community a sense of ooh la la. You know, that French essence that makes things feel a little bit more elegant and makes us all ladies feel a little bit, I don't know, like, well, I know not like Catherine Deneuve, but I feel a little bit more like maybe an Audrey Hepburn, or a little more sophisticated than I normally do in my daily life. Sipping on something wonderful like French onion soup gratiné on a rainy day, not unlike this one, makes you feel grown up and warm and cozy and sophisticated. The flavor is essential and irresistible. And I'll tell you that in the bistro in the front or the formal dining room in the back, since 1980, they have been cultivating true connoisseurship and conviviality. And there's a reason why when we go to restaurants and we say, gosh, we don't eat heavy like that anymore. And you think back on all the things we don't do, the things we do are all derivative of the Escoffier tradition of cooking and cuisine. Everywhere you go and everything you have can trace its roots like a family tree, an edible family tree, back to Escoffier. Auguste Escoffier, of course, was a legendary French chef who memorialized and set forth the sort of professionalism that is to be found today in the brigade system in kitchens and in the traditional preparations of dishes and items. But if you are somebody who remembers things like a crispy duck or a beef Wellington, or if you, for in addition to these sort of heartier things, just want something brasserie style like a great steak frites, I will tell you the best steak frites in town is found at Le Rendezvous. They're located at Alvernon and Fort Lowell. They serve it at lunch and at dinner. If you want something wonderful, you have to go to Le Rendezvous and find things like creme brulee and the Grand Marnier Soufflé. Chef Gordon Berger, or Berger, and his family, his dad, Chef Jean-Claude Berger, started Le Rendezvous in 1980, and they love traditions. They're stewards of traditions. They are the keeper of these traditions in our culture. And so if you want to enjoy from Monday to Friday a really lovely luncheon, that's the place to go. And if you want to celebrate a really traditional Réveillon, a New Year's Eve celebration, that's the place to go. Our good friends at Le Rendezvous will welcome you, and you'll be reminded with homemade baguettes, beautiful curls of crisp, creamy butter, and really traditional escargot. Oh, the ooh la la is alive and well and living in Tucson at Le Rendezvous. Make sure you go up and visit them, because to do so is to really be not only in the heart of Tucson's locally owned and operated restaurants, but it's to get a sense of who we are as a culture. We want to thank Chef Maria Maison for being one of our sponsors at Well, and it's not enough to say that she's just ridiculously talented. She's a brilliant cook. She's a daughter of this region. She is someone who is taking us with her on the national and international stage to tell the story through food and flavor of what we as the city of gastronomy have to offer. People will come from all over the world to visit us. And because they do, we get to bring them to places like Fourth Avenue and to places like Boca Taco and Tequila, where Chef Maria Maison truly paints with a palette of flavor. It's not the tacos, she will tell you. Anybody can make a taco, she will say. But not everybody can make the salsas that are like great art. And it's one of the things that I bring people to taste and try when they come to this town. It's one of the things that distinctively makes this one of the most delicious places on the planet. And at this time of year, when the citrus is just in its most fecund state, where you literally drive down the street and see oranges, grapefruits, lemons, and limes dripping from the trees, begging to be juiced, zested, and included in our foods and our flavors. The farmers' markets have the greatest greens of the year this time of year. There is so much right now in the season from December through March that make this, arguably, including our weather, including all of the elements that make this the most delicious place on the planet, a city of gastronomy. We're going to take a very quick break. You are listening to Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy here on AM 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. KVOI.com is our web address where, from coast to coast and all around the planet, from North Pole to South, from Santa to the Penguins, you can listen to us on demand. We have something for you, and when we come back, we're going to do a giveaway. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. That's the enchanting music of Buck Garrett, my friend. Thank you, Buck. So I think one of the things that we're talking about today, having just celebrated Christmas, where there were lots of presents under the tree. Some people have a gift for gift giving, and some people have a gift, and they've made peace with that gift, and they've recognized the sacred nature of a gift, and they are cultivating that gift and sharing that gift generously with the people in the world that they share. And people that I know and love do that very thing. And Buck Garrett is one of those people. He has an extraordinary gift for music, and he gives us a present every time he plays with all his heart and soul. I hope you like that music. It's been a really big part of what moved us this year in 2019. Gifts and presents and gifts, the idea that they are not the same thing. I love it when the idea of giving someone a gift really means that you're giving them the gift of an inspiration. I love that at Christmas time, with presents, things that are reminders of people that love us. And when they say that is the thought that counts, what they're really saying, it's the intention of how someone loves us that is represented and expressed. And it's how people that we know and love make their world more delicious. One of the most inspiring stories of 2019 for me was meeting a woman that we just heard mentioned in a spot featuring my good friend Ken Alexander from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue. And his mother, Wilma, came to the station this year, visited with us in person, and taught us what I think might be one of the most important lessons of the year. She talked about cooking big for her family and what that meant, and how in her life she cooks at what I'll describe, just to be efficient, she cooks in a soup kitchen, and she cooks for people who need to be fed as well as her own family. She cooked for her family like we all do, but she went out into the world to cook for others. And in her own extraordinary way, took the gift that she, the many gifts that she's been given that are her sacred gifts, and share them so generously. See, the gift doesn't matter if you don't share it generously. People that have gifts can't resist sharing the gift, cultivating it. You have to paint if you're a painter. You have to write if you're a writer. And you have to cook if you're a cook or a chef. And you have to do these things. Ken Alexander joins us now Welcome my good friend Ken Alexander to talk about one of the best stories of the year. That visit good with your morning. Mom and sharing of her gifts.
Good morning, Jennifer. It's a pleasure to join you this morning. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm great, great, doing well.
And I've got two celebrated chefs in the studio with me today, Chef Justin Nilsson and Chef Michelle Ortiz, both of whom have a similar gift. They have the gift of sharing their gift. And so people that, you know how they say water seeks its own level? Well, that's truer today than ever before. So let's talk a little bit about how that visit with your mom and the food that you make at Ken's is a real, it's a present. The food itself is a present you give, but it's born of the gift that you share with your family. Will you talk about that a little bit and the difference between gifts and presents?
Well, you know, the thing about the visit with my mom is that, you know, I watched my mom for many years just, you know, to share her gifts with, you know, she has a passion for those in need. And to watch her, you know, she went to school. It was in geriatrics. She studied geriatrics. You know, she wanted to help the elderly. And then later on, she wanted, you know, to help the homeless. She always fed people and did things for people in need. So just watching that. So having my mom come out here was such a pleasure. So, you know, to see what we were doing in Tucson and how we were, you know, sharing the gift of food, you know, the gift of just the sharing love, you know, giving love with food. You know, I think, as you know, on Christmas Day every year, we feed the homeless, and I call it giving love on Christmas Day. And, you know, I see all through the year, that's how we feel. We have a passion for cooking, and we have a passion for sharing it. And my mom coming out here to see what we were doing just kind of validated everything.
I want to credit you for two things. On Christmas Day, I wasn't able to get to the actual physical geographic location where you were, but I took your mission and I did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me want to do that more. And it's a very different kind of hospitality and conviviality that's created when you're doing those kinds of things. Will you talk about what happens on Christmas Day?
Yeah, on Christmas Day, well, it starts a few days earlier. And the thing about it is, you know, we decided that we would feed the homeless on Christmas Day back in 2018, and we did it there. Fed about 200 people that day. But what we do is we take our food truck out, and we go over to Santa Rita Park. And the thing about it is there's a – just have a bunch of volunteers. We've got folks at Trinity Missionary Baptist Church and folks at the Sigma Pi Phi fraternity, and then just other families and people come together. And so we smoked 16 turkeys, and, you know, have people come in, they volunteer, we pull all the meat off the turkey, we make dressing, we make mashed potatoes and all those things. And so what we do is we go out there on Christmas Day. We arrive around 9:30, 10 o'clock. I mean, we set up tables, we set up chairs, we set up, we also have clothing. We've collected clothing throughout the year. And so we just serve the people there that, you know, have had a hard time, that a little down on their luck, and, you know, some homeless or just hungry. And, you know.
And yesterday was a little bit drizzly, so warm, dry clothes.
Right, it was drizzly. We took out the pop-up tents, so we set up the table, so we had shelter and everything for that, so they could sit down out of the rain and on Christmas Day. So, you know, we just try to make a nice time and for, like I said, folks that are you know, having a struggling at this moment.
Ken Alexander is the owner of Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, purveyor of some of the finest, most irresistible barbecue in town. And I know that you and I are very simpatico in a lot of ways, but I happen to think, as delicious as your ribs are, and they're some of the most succulent that I've ever had, your side dishes slay me. They utterly slay me. They are so irresistible. It's hard to choose which one is my favorite. But I want to talk about when you're celebrating in a New Year's tradition and how the food of Ken's Hardwood Barbecue might just be the perfect food to bring in to share with your family and friends. Talk a little bit about New Year's.
On New Year's Day, yeah. So we're open. We close early on New Year's Day. I think we close around 5 or 6 o'clock. But
on New Year's Eve?
Perfect. On New Year's Eve. We're closed on New Year's Day. You know, we've had this has been a really great holiday season for us. Thanksgiving, Christmas, we've been offering holiday meals. People have been coming in the day before because we've been closed on Thanksgiving and closed on Christmas, but they've been purchasing the holiday meal. We tell them how to warm it up. But so it's New Year's is no, you know, is not any different. We're still offering turkeys. A lot of people love our brisket. And pulled pork, pulled chicken.
Well, let's tell everybody what the holiday family meal deal that you've created is, because you can still order it, as I understand it.
Right. You can still order it up until tomorrow. So we need a few days. If you want a turkey, you can order it up until Tuesday. Well, Monday if you if it's brisket, pulled pork, or chicken, or some other side, but yeah, so we offer a turkey. So it's a meal that feeds 8 to 10 people. Smoked turkey. We have one of our sides. We have collard greens, green beans, mac and cheese, barbecue beans, potato salad, coleslaw, and those are all the side dishes that we offer. That's our holiday meal.
And how much does that cost?
It's $125.
And it feeds 8 to 10 people. And let's give everybody the phone number.
The phone number is 520-745-4746. And we're located at 5250 East 22nd Street, cross street to Craycroft and 22nd Street.
It's one of my favorite places in town. It's where I bring my friends when they come visit, and it's a place that I always love coming back to because you feel welcomed, part of the family. Ken, I hope that 2020, the year and the decade ahead, are delicious, and thank you for continuing to make a place where we all feel so welcome with such delicious food. I hope everybody gives you a call and orders your holiday meal because it is a terrific way to offer the very most delicious cooked with love food you can possibly offer your guests this New Year's season. Ken, thank you for everything. And I hope that you know how deeply inspired I have been this year, how grateful I am for the gift of your presence here in our world and on this show.
Well, Jennifer, thank you very much. It's certainly a pleasure. It's been ever since the day I met you, it's been a pleasure being around you, being on your show, and it's been a real blessing for me and my team and the time that we spend with you. So I just want to say thank you very much. Thank you for everything you've done for us in 2019, and I look forward to seeing and breaking bread with you in 2020.
I love the idea of having more fellowship with you. Ken Alexander from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, thank you very much. We are here in the studios, live in the city of gastronomy. This is Around the Table, and I have a bottle of champagne in my hands. This particular bottle is called Champagne Jacquard, because we are in the throes of getting ready at the end of the year to celebrate the year that was. Do we drink champagne, as they say, in success you deserve it, and in defeat you need it? So was 2019 a year we are... a year of success or defeat? Are we drinking at the end of the year these bubbles because we were beleaguered or triumphant? And are we drinking champagne at the beginning of the year as a toast to the new year or celebrating the old year? We will talk about that. Where can you get a glass of champagne anywhere in this town? Well, you can at Les Rendezvous. You can also go to the Revel Wine Bar at 9th Avenue downtown, another one of our sponsors. But champagne is just one of those many things that has a very celebratory function. And in this last segment of the last show of the year, in the last year of the decade, in the last show of the commencement of our 20th anniversary of broadcasting, I welcome Chef Michelle Ortiz, the extraordinary pastry chef, who is a consulting pastry chef around the country to some of the most legendary restaurateurs. Literally, you couldn't go much further afield than Las Vegas, Nevada, and Nantucket, Massachusetts. There are few more dissimilar places than those, and yet she is triumphant in each. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jennifer.
I love that you're in town for like 48 hours and you're spending some of that time with us.
Well, I love Tucson, and it's because of my best friend here, Justin Nilsson, that I am here to celebrate Christmas and ringing in the new year. So this is more than makes up for last minute.
I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot, and I know you're already smiling, laughing at me, saying, I knew you were going to do this to me. People are sick and tired of me talking gushingly about this man here and his talent, the gifts that God has given him, the gifts that he cultivates every day, and how knowing him is like living in a garden of gifts. I'm going to let you introduce him.
Well, Justin, there's so many words to describe Justin. I don't have them all right now. As you've said, you've put me on the spot. However, his creativity and talent, which is always amazing since it was all 100% self-taught with, you know, mentors along the way, but he's always had a vision in his head and can always make it come to life. And I think this is one of the reasons many people gravitate towards him. It's one of the reasons we work well together, because I am the yin to his yang. And while his crazy creativity is unabandoned, I come in and rein it all in, and he puts out, whether it's design, desserts, savory, it doesn't matter. When he puts his mind to it, it creates an unbelievable and extraordinary, whatever you want to fill in the blank with.
Let's talk about this plate of food. First of all, we're going to welcome Justin Nilsson to the show again. And I could think of nobody I'd rather have at my table to round out the year and the decade, because it so typifies what we are hoping to achieve here, which is to inspire people.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in.
What did you make
for us today?
We made some honey glazed donuts, actually. And then we called them unicorn horns. But
we're calling them unicorn horns. Well, you're calling them
unicorn. Because they're rare and special.
And I'm holding them up, and I don't know, John, can you see these on the Facebook Live?
So we brought one for you, John.
You can go to YouTube Live and go to... John, can you remind us where we can go on YouTube Live for this? It's at KVOI 1030, AM 1030. He's going to type this in for me. Search for... We're going to find it for you, and we're going to tell you where it is. But you can watch us live, and we're going to put this up for you, and you're going to be able to go back and look at this as well. Do you guys have this on your Facebook Live pages?
Michelle did, because I made her that for breakfast this morning.
You made breakfast in bed.
I did. I was spoiling my friends.
Listen, we could sit here for literally hours and talk about where everyone is going to be going and eating, and what we're going to be eating, and what we're going to be experiencing. I want to look in the crystal ball, and I want to talk about where we're going trend-wise, food-wise. You two are some of the pioneering imaginations that are taking us to these places. Knowing Justin, watching lightning strike him the way that it does in the form of inspiration is extraordinary. And not everyone's going to get the privilege to sit in a room with him when he gets the idea to, I'm just going to make these. And it's as if... It's as if the gods go through him. Like, he's their magic wand to create this food and make it come to life. But that's the notion of what a gift is, a talent is. You're both very talented. Will you talk a little bit about where we're going to go and how surprising it is to you to have these things percolate in the way that these ideas just come to you and you just know where to take us?
If I can begin on that one, because I've thought about this question as you posed it last night about what the upcoming trends are and what's happening. One of the most interesting things, I feel, we have become such a world of wellness, because truly that is where the trend is heading. Everyone is about wellness and what makes me feel good. How can we extend our lives? You know, where does this lead us to? And while I scoffed at this probably about 5 years ago or so, everyone was on the, you know, the I don't eat gluten, or, you know, I'm trying to lose weight. And so when people tried to make desserts, which I think should never be altered in any way, I actually started thinking, because there's so many new types of flours out there, the sugars, and that's what everyone is looking for. So as opposed to scoffing at the idea and saying, well, you know, if you can't eat sugar, don't eat the dessert, now it's become, you know, your mind is shifting, at least mine is. And you see so many opportunities and so many various flours or the non-dairy milks. And as opposed to it being something that perhaps like 1% of the population were drinking and or eating, it is now becoming more mainstream. So I think we need to take that in and start creating new desserts or savories, pastries, what have you, and think about this on a larger scale than a specialty shop that's so obscure to find for the 1% that didn't eat it, because it's becoming so prevalent out there.
People would have also said in another time that gluten-free stuff that's all made with that rice flour and it's kind of gummy and it tastes fake, or they're using a different kind of sugar and I don't like the saccharin. You know, the first generations of things oftentimes are not the perfected generations of things. We get that idea in our mind that we don't like them. Mm-hmm. And of course, the idea is as we evolve through the shifting perspective like you're talking about into the application. Justin, how is this idea of cooking for everybody and trying these new ingredients finding its way into your brainstorms?
Well, I think to something we touched on last time, as being a trend was better, and exactly to your point now, that I think as people are sort of embracing and sharing more about, you know, their discoveries with making things with new ingredients and whatnot, that the more we share and the more we sort of take an active interest in something, the better it becomes. And one of the goals for this year that Michelle and I were just talking about, and we were talking about with another friend of ours in Vegas and also my twin brother, which you know, was first sparked the idea, was that I primarily already, just out of affordability and whatnot, tend to eat a lot less red meat and whatnot. I tend to eat more of a Mediterranean diet, a lot of vegetables and grains and stuff. And so we were gonna make an attempt to head even further into a more plant-based kind of diet for health reasons. And you know, the older I get, the more sore it is to get up and stuff in the morning.
But in spite of the fact that we're trying it just to try it and see where it leads us, that actually is a major trend coming up in this decade. It is the whole plant-based lifestyle. So I think we need to start embracing, you know, not just for sustainability, which is also still on trend. Everyone is looking, how can we reduce, excuse me, that carbon footprint? So do we need to eat, excuse me, meat, and even the fish, you know, the seas are overfished, and, you know, people
just looking for ocean wise versus.
Exactly.
No, and, you know, but then also to tie this back into what you were discussing in the first part of the show, too, in terms of, you know, making things better and making and that sense of sharing, you know, talking about your thought about how you wanted to share more with the community who aren't as fortunate to, you know, have a refrigerator full of food and stuff. You know, one of the things that you know, I recently had the opportunity to do several times while I was doing a consulting project in Sacramento was having dinner, like sharing, actually sitting down and sharing. So it's not just a matter of, you know, handing somebody your leftovers or buying somebody a burger or something, but actually sitting down and sharing with somebody, that I think that dramatically makes better somebody's life. You know, a lot of people feel very isolated, you know, particularly when they're without, you know, and they're surrounded by people with, you know, it's a very isolated feeling. And so I think if there would be something that I would most encourage, whether you're a fabulous cook or you just have, you know, extra, I'd say take the extra time and actually share something with somebody and have a conversation. And it's mind blowing what a conversation with somebody can do and what it can inspire. Because, you know, even when I was in Vancouver doing a project, you know, I had coffee and shared a couple meals with somebody that, you know, looked like they needed some help. And to the point that we actually stayed in touch on Facebook, and he got his life back together. He was able to go back and have a life with his baby girl that he left behind and stuff. And he's actually doing fantastic right now. He bought a car and, you know, so...
the difference makes a difference.
Difference does make a difference. And you can make a monumental difference on an individual basis.
We're going to go to the phone lines very quickly. I want you to hold that thought. Alan Williams went and saw a movie for us. He's our film school professor. He joins us on this last show of the year. And in the moments we have left, we want to welcome him to the table as well. Alan, Professor, how are you?
Hello, Jennifer. Good to be here with you today.
Now, you saw the epic. Tell everybody what you saw this week and how you're inspiring. Are we recommending it or are we not recommending it? What do we know?
I went and saw Star Wars, which is, you know, should be required viewing for really anybody. I mean, the Star Wars saga, the Luke Skywalker saga, is part of the American lexicon and is certainly probably one of the best known stories ever told. It's multi-generational and so on, and they were to have wrapped up the Luke Skywalker saga in this final installment before Disney begins branching off into other space adventures. I am sorry to say, as a huge Star Wars fan who remembers standing in line here in Tucson when I was 11 back in 1977 to see the first one and was forever changed by that film, I am sorry to say that I feel that J.J. Abrams fell well short of what my expectations certainly were. The last 15 to 20 minutes were pretty darn good, but the ride to that point was some of the most contrived and confusing things that I've seen in film, and I was profoundly disappointed with the journey that they took us on. Yes.
Okay, so we're going to leave that behind. We're not going to waste another second on it. Don't see Star Wars. What was the best movie you saw in 2019? And in the 60 seconds we have, what would you say make sure we see?
The best movie in 2019? Oh, man, you put me on the spot also. Wow.
How about one of the three best films you saw in 2019? What's the one you want to go see again?
Jennifer. Oh, you gotta, I wasn't ready for that.
I know, I'm sorry. But seriously, let me ask you the question. Of all the movies you saw, what's the one that you would see again right now?
Irishman.
Honestly, I'm gonna be honest.
How about you guys? What was the best movie you saw this year?
I mean, I really loved The Irishman, but...
You did.
I did.
That was up there.
That was definitely up there, and I want to see it more just because there is so much subtlety in it that I kind of want to understand more of it, and I thought it was entertaining enough that I would watch it again a couple times.
Alan Williams is our film school professor. Thank you so much for calling in and being with us. He can be found regularly at CrossFit Milo at the Axel Studios. May 2020 be a fit, healthy, and delicious year for you, and may we all be entertained. I can't wait to go to the movies with you again in the next weeks. See you soon, Alan. Thank you so much for everything.
Thanks, Jennifer.
And in the 2 minutes we have left in the studio, really only a minute and a half, I want to give the last word to Chef Michelle Ortiz about where we're going next and the idea of where we can take our gifts.
So interesting that Justin was talking about sharing a meal, but where we are going next, believe it or not, for as much as I love restaurants and being at every opening, it is about having it at home with your friends and your family. More and more people are realizing the importance of, hey, let's get together and cook. No one has to be a chef extraordinaire. It's the conviviality. It's the, you know, the friendship, the talking that everyone has been missing as of late, in my opinion. You know, put down the cell phones. Let's talk amongst one another. Let's
sit at the table.
Exactly.
Sit and let's make it about conviviality, not cuisine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
we'll make it about cuisine.
Where can people find you in the summer months, Michelle? You're going to be...
If I can make it, I'll be back on Nantucket at the Crew Oyster Bar.
And Justin Nilsson has projects coming up next in Las Vegas. We'll see you there. Mm-hmm. In the seconds that we have left as this ticks down and as we get ready to pop the cork, I want to thank you all very much for the gift, the real privilege of allowing me to be part of your culinary life here in the city of gastronomy. When you get home tonight, do me this one favor. Hug your kids and count your blessings and share a meal with family and friends. We'll be together in 2020. We'll see you then. Happy New Year.